It's The Buzz 24-7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Buzz 24-7. Podcast exclusively recorded for your listening pleasure at no cost, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
This is like it's like a true 24/7 for you. You've been up for a day and a half now.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. Well, I mean, yeah, it feels like it only got a few
Coke
hours.
The Coke nose this morning, like I'm in.
dude, there are some days where I wish, you know. So I went home yesterday. The plan was to nap. Like, you got to take a nap before a long day like that, and you can't with a puppy.
You just can't.
The puppy doesn't nap with you?
Yeah, well, puppies nap.
No, I know, but the puppy was alone throughout the course of the morning, so when I got there, she was kind of like, she's like,
go,
huh? Yeah. Yeah.
In the garage?
No.
All right.
In
the garage. Take a nap all you want.
No, it's not. No, there's no crate in the garage, you goddamn animal.
You put one in the garage.
No,
you move your crate.
No.
I actually have a portable one if you want to borrow it.
She was playful, wanted to play, so there was no sleep. And I had to do some work. So anyway, point is it's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
You've gotten through.
Yeah.
Did you know Jimmy, he got a new dog?
I did. I saw her. I think it was on the internet. I saw her picture. Yeah.
See, now I can't even talk about the dog because of you guys.
He feels so guilty every time.
It was funny last week. You dropped that. You go, I did not know you got a dog. I did not see any pictures online.
Says the guy who puts a picture of every sandwich he eats on the.
I'm just as guilty.
Yeah.
We all
put pictures on things. Yeah. We all have our things and we put our pictures up. And
but nobody gives you shit over it. That's just reserved for me.
No one has ever said to me enough with the roast beef sandwiches.
We like seeing them.
Yeah.
I always look at the stuff you post when you post the food, and I think he eats all that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not one of those influencers taking a picture of a lobster roll and then saying, get it away from me.
Some of my favorite things to watch on the internet is people doing selfies and stuff like that and getting taken out by giant waves because they're trying to make modeling shots.
Those are great. Kook slam.
And you know what else is funny? What is, I'm going to say this, it might make some people angry.
Okay. Yeah.
What is more pathetic than a guy trying to take pictures of his girlfriend doing all these modeling shots in places like that when he's crawling all over the ground? He's taken a million shots of the woman because he's whipped.
He's whipped. He's pussy whipped. Absolutely.
Oh. Well, I mean,
there's some guys that like that. They like the attention that they're getting from how hot they're.
But I agree.
If you ever see somebody like that. You know, the woman's like standing on the rocks and she doesn't want to get wet, but her fiance or boyfriend is standing in the water, you know, sharks surrounded by him, but to get the perfect picture.
If those people are together, they're both very vain that it's not just because he's pussy whipped, it's because he loves that attention of how hot she looks in the water.
I think you're right. I think that's just the type of people. I watched a guy at the beach. It was early in the morning. The sun had just come up, and I was driving home and I pulled over because I was shooting something else, and I saw this guy on his hands and knees crawling around the beach in the beginning of the surf. So in the small, and she was a little further out in the waves, and this guy's crawling around in the water, and obviously he digs it.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm going like, never would I do that. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Not like that. He had a phone. I'm like, get down like a pro. Go buy a goddamn camera.
Yeah, get a GoPro.
Do something like that. I don't know. I just felt weird for the guy. Like, if his buddies saw him, they'd hammer him.
Sure.
Because that's what buddies do.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what I thought. Anyway.
Yeah.
And I've seen it in a million places. People on cliffs. And I'm like, dude, you don't have your back to the cliff. That's how people die.
Cities don't have you back to the city.
Oh God,
that happens all the time.
Yeah,
people like when I'm in a big city, when I'm in New York City, people walk in the middle of Times Square, in the middle of the street.
Yeah,
what a disgusting city.
I was outside the Garden last night.
It's a great city.
Manhattan's great.
I love New York City.
I love going there.
I do. There's just so much excitement.
I was at the Garden last night outside. You know, before we got there a little early, and so I was hanging out. And these couple security dudes came over and they're standing next to me, and I'm like. Getting high
everywhere,
right,
the security guys
are getting high in plain sight,
kind of
right there.
Oh, wait, and, wait, 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 First off, it's not a crime. Not a crime.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's recreational. Also, if you got got to babysit ELO fans all night, you probably need a little something.
What's the worst thing that's going to happen at an ELO show? It's not like you got to fight anybody.
Someone's going to slip a disc.
Somebody's going to have a stroke or something. That's the worst thing that's going to happen. It's going to be a fight.
The song Don't Bring Me Down, right?
Yep.
You're looking good just like a snake in the grass. Right? One of these days you're going to... And at one point in the song, it goes...
Yeah.
Right? And I looked at my buddy and I'm like, that's the most exercise 90% of these people have gotten in months, because they clapped and now, holy shit, I beat, you know, because it was definitely a bit of an older crowd.
You had to get there the day before to get a handicap spot.
But I will tell you,
the first five levels of the parking garage were nothing but placards.
I will tell you.
I see that you have beer here. Do you have Sanka?
Yeah. I got a Sanka.
Any old duels?
Yeah. I will say, though, that the band was phenomenal. I mean, just first, your brother went, and it was that good. It was that good. The thing that's interesting is, shit, I forgot what it was. I totally it's gone.
It was
I
don't even know what it was. Too much, it was going to happen.
Too much
he's
done
great. Security guard smoking.
Yeah. So it wasn't that interesting.
Now I didn't care about the security guard smoking weed. I didn't care
New
about
York
that.
New York City.
Boston. No.
City
of
Boston.
Nope. Oh, yeah, I got it.
Oh.
So I go to pull into the parking garage.
Yeah.
And there's a sign outside the parking garage.
Yeah.
No trucks.
Oh.
So I'm sitting there and I'm going, this is where I park.
Yeah.
I park here all the time.
Yep.
It's the most convenient, the quickest get out. This is where I park.
And this is not the on-campus one. This is a little bit off-campus.
Slightly away from the gardens.
Over in the north end.
Yeah, I know where you are.
So
there's a big truck in front of me. The guy has to pull on the line. They point to him and they say, go. So I look at the guy. He's looking at me, and I put my hands up because I don't have a big truck.
You got a sports utility vehicle.
And for a while, we've been telling people, they're like, that's not a real truck. So you finally have to say, I've been told.
So I didn't want to get into this on the air. Because
we'll start truck fights.
Yeah.
We get it. You got a big Dodge, a bad credit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I'm looking out the window at the guy, and I'm like, what do you think? And he goes... He kind of puts his hands up like, yeah, you're a truck. I'm like, my friends give me shit. This isn't a real truck. Can you just let, come on, bro. And then the guy relents.
Yeah.
And he goes, all right, come on in.
That's awesome.
I was like, I had to use it. All my friends bust my balls and this isn't a real truck. You got to let me in.
The Honda Pilot.
And he did.
Yeah.
And not only did he let me in, he gave me a primo spot.
That's awesome.
I was parked next to a truck that was bigger than mine.
Yeah.
So what I found about parking garages in Boston, money talks.
Of course.
If you hold out a 20, it'll get you in, even if it says full.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm over in Cambridge.
How
and
full is what you say?
Down the street, like a block over, is a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
And it has a parking thing in the back. I was told, you show up there, you can buy the pass, but like... If it's an hour before the show, most of those are full. You can pull in and give the guy a 20, and he'll put you in one of the spots.
Right.
I'm totally cool with that. Absolutely.
And when you do that, you're closer to the to the exit, because they just park right there. I got you. You know, $20, $25, whatever.
Are you comfortable leaving your keys?
I've done it many times.
Okay.
I have nothing in the car.
In Los Angeles, you have no other option but to leave your keys. Almost every single lot is we park it. You know, even if it's, I could park right there.
No,
you got to leave your keys, because they want to be able to move them, Tetris them around. And it is amazing to me that people with cars that are worth $200,000-$300,000 just go, here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't care.
Yeah.
Mine's not even close to that. I've done it, but it's one of those things where I went.
I hate it.
I kind of feel like I'm saying goodbye. Hey, listen, we've had a great run. And if I never see you again, and you, like, 3 hours from now, you're being sold somewhere, thank you.
New York City, went to a hotel, and I said, I took valet parking, and they said, pull it right here. So I get out, I gave him the keys. I said, where do you guys park it? He goes, right
Jersey.
There.
Jersey.
He goes, no, right there. I'm like, what's that? He goes, elevator.
Yeah.
And he pulls it forward, and then the floor just goes down.
Oh, yeah.
And it's gone. And I'm thinking, like, what's down there? Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom? Is the Great Khali getting carted around in my little freaking CRV? What's going on down there? I don't know what the hell's going on underground in New York City.
I don't think I've ever told you this story, but the first time I went to New York City, I was a very, very young comic, and I got a call from a guy who owned a club in New York City. He goes, I want to see you down here. I want to audition you. I was so excited.
Yeah.
I get to New York City. I go to one of these places like that, right? And I pull in, and the guy says, well, park, you know, we park it. Give him the keys to my little Volkswagen GTI.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the first floor. And I saw him park it right there. And all the way down, everyone's like, be careful. It's New York City. They're going to rip you off left and right. And don't do this and don't do that. Keep your wallet in your front pocket. You know, all of it.
Yeah, all that stuff, yeah.
So I come out 2 o'clock in the morning after doing 3 shows at that club. And I go there to the first floor. My car's not there. And I freak out. Where the hell's my car? Calm down. Where the hell's my car? It was right there. They had put it in the elevator and brought it up. Yeah. But I freaked out and I like scrambled out on the street to find a cop. And these guys stole my car.
Yeah, it's
they
awful.
Put it in an elevator and it was up on the...
I'm intrigued as to what's down there, like underground. What, obviously, an underground garage, blah, blah, blah.
It's just space.
But it was a one car. It was not like a multi-car lift. It was just enough room for the car.
Yeah.
And it goes, whoop, down it went. And
it's
I was
gone.
Like, holy crap.
In D.C., we Hotel Harrington. We have a parking place.
I stayed there, dude.
And I know you remember. I remember you telling me. And we forgot something in the car and went down. And I go, can I go? And they go, no, your car is about a half an hour away.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
Are you leaving now? Well, I guess not. And they're like, because when you check out, give us like a half an hour notice. We'll go get the car.
Do you do any shows in New York City anymore, Jimmy?
I do from time to time. Not as often. I drive, yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, anytime I can have my car with me.
Yeah, but in New York?
Yeah.
What's there? Laugh Factory, Caroline's? Are those still real places?
New York has a really amazing comedy club called The Stand that started about 10 years ago, and it's a little tiny place. Now they've moved, and it's a much bigger place, but they sort of built their reputation with the great New York City comics.
Yeah.
But they hired really great chefs and made really high-end food, and it was one of the first comedy clubs that started doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blew up. The kid who started it, his brother was a chef.
Yeah.
So they kind of grew together.
Yep.
And it's got 3 rooms now. There's a downstairs. There's 3 different venues. And the food is just absolutely incredible.
Sometimes you get good food in unlikely places.
Yeah. Well, that was their thing, was like, you know, the bad rap on comedy clubs is 2-item minimum. Chicken fingers that don't even get refrigerated.
Right.
You know, I mean, I have literally seen boxes of chicken fingers in the back of green rooms that say, keep refrigerated, just sitting in the sun. You know, oh, God, I would never eat, you know. But this was that was their thing. It was like, if we're going to
do it,
we're going to make you want to eat the food, not make you have to.
Best pork chop I ever had was at an S&M club. I am not kidding. I swear to you.
Whoa, what do you
We did.
Gretchen does.
He's hungry.
We did.
You're
and
the man.
Me?
Let me finish this pork chop and then we're going to get it on.
Me, Derek, the engineer, Jean Marie, I think it was Steve. And it was this S&M club, not like where they're having sex, but you would go there and they would tie people up and they'd hit them. And then, you know, it was kind of like a bar that was like a theme bar.
Where was this?
It was in New York City.
Oh, in the city.
And,
all right.
And they actually would tie them up.
Yep.
So your hands were up above their head right next to the table.
Yep.
And they'd hit them with like, I don't want to say whips, but what's the thing with a bunch of like tassels on the end of it? And they hit
whip,
you with
it.
Yeah, it's more or less a whip, but it's like a paddle.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And they did that. And they did it at tables and women office parties. Yeah, they were getting women were grabbing them, doing all, and I'm like, so we ate there because we knew it was a restaurant. And I ordered,
hey,
I'm like,
while we're here,
what do you order at an S&M club? Yeah. And I'm like, I'll have the pork chop. I mean, how badly can you mess up the pork chop? And they bring the pork chop, and I'm like,
maybe it often messed up item, it gets dry.
Laura, I sat there and I'm like,
that was really moist.
This is the best pork chop I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is delicious. And then the woman, this is now, they get handies with.
Handsy.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
Not a handy.
They get handsy with you.
Yeah.
And they would grab your stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
Stuff.
Yeah.
You mean my pork chop?
Yeah. Yes,
you
they would.
Balls?
Yes, they would.
Wow.
Yeah, because they, I was looking, the engineer was tied up to the ceiling and he was facing us. They were hitting him from behind. And then the hand came from behind and just groped onto him. I'm like, whoa, dude.
Wow.
Yeah. But it was, and they, this were, was a, they were not unattractive.
This was on our radio gig?
It was, we were broadcasting live or something from New York.
So you wrote, and, so you wrote that pork chop off too?
Yeah.
And the handy? Awesome. Yeah. And the handy, right?
Yeah. The pork
chop? I did not, there was not, I did not get nor receive a handy.
Oh, that's right. Is there something in your eye? You just winked at us. You just winked at us. Did you see that, Lori? You winked at us.
But it was the best pork chop. It was the best pork chop that I've had.
It's fantastic.
You know? Yeah, it's fantastic.
You never know.
He goes to the you Bunny Ranch. Know. He's like, you should try the chicken dip.
No. Oh, no.
I was too chicken. Sat in the parking lot with a buddy. Who's like,
we at went the to chicken
the,
ranch?
The Bunny Ranch. The Bordello, the whole, you know, the red light, the whatever.
Yeah.
Whorehouse, whatever you want to call it.
Andy Kaufman's place.
Was it really?
You know that story?
He's all over the
Andy
place.
Andy Kaufman did I think it was a one week thing in Vegas.
Yeah.
He was there for a week at working every night.
Yeah.
And he goes there the first night and goes to the whorehouse and says, how many ladies you got working here? And they said, total? Like, I don't know, 27? He goes, yeah. All right, I want every one of them over the course of the week. And so he went and...
Really?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was in a movie, too.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's in...
That's crazy. No, this was the Reno Bunny Ranch. So that was the second cousin.
Reno's a sad city, man. I've done many a gig in Reno, and that's a sad place.
My buddy took us there. He took us there as a gag, like you know, like, and I'm like, I'm not going in. I'm not going to be the guy that doesn't order anything. I'm not. I'm not going to do it.
And not going to do it.
He went in by himself. My brother and I and my other buddy sat out in the car, and like three dudes in the parking lot of the Bunny Ranch. I don't know what's weirder.
It got raided.
Yeah, we should have gone in.
All you guys are sitting in there splitting a bag of chips. The place gets crazy.
Dude, it was basically a double wide trailer with a wrought iron fence around it, like Stephen King lived.
I want to say like there was a pool on the. I watched a special on it.
Cat House on HBO.
People made it out to be like, oh my god, it's like the Playboy Mansion, and they're like, no, it's not.
There was a woman that worked there that was on the show HBO Cat House that was from Exeter, New Hampshire.
Wow.
And she came back home one day. She called me, left a message on my phone at the radio station, and I was like, wow. Her name, conspicuously Kelly Brown, Isabella Soprano. Look it up.
Yeah, that one sounds made up.
Look it up.
I think it sounds real.
But she went from Exeter and made it all the way
allegedly,
to the Bunny
Ranch. That's the story, I heard.
That's the thing. Keep your dreams alive. Just because you can make it to show business from Hollywood. Yeah. Listen to
don't let anybody tell you can't, because you know why, ladies and gentlemen? This is America.
Yeah. You can do whatever you want.
This is America.
You want eight guys?
Whatever.
You can get eight guys.
I'm not saying Isabella did eight guys. I'm just saying she had a dream. And if that's what she wants, I support her. I support her, okay?
Something was inside her that made her successful.
Yes, exactly. A drive, Kelly. A fire burned.
There was a drive, all right.
A fire burned. Okay.
Hopefully there's no fire burning.
No.
It burns. I
meant an internal fire to get to a thing. Whatever. So I don't know if she's doing that anymore. She was very nice. Hey, if a woman wants to do that, if a man wants to do that, God bless you.
Yeah.
I say, you know what? Hey, you go with God. You go with God. God's with you.
And if that's what you want to do, if that's really what you want to do.
Yeah,
and that's you want to be the best at it.
You do.
Don't go to Reno.
Yeah,
go somewhere else.
Yep. We're at a strip club in Reno. This is in the '80s, and a woman lit her matches on fire that were stuck in her nipples that she did herself.
Okay.
And as soon as she lit those on fire, I looked and said, "Check, please. We're out."
Yeah.
You got to remember, she has a small niche crowd, you know, the people that are into fire.
Yeah.
They're like, holy shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Greg Sartre said, let me pay for my pork chop and be on my way.
Yeah, no, there was no pork chop. There was no pork chop. That was not a play.
Porky's out.
Kelly, we were young, you guys.
Yeah.
You go and you say, hell with it, let's go see it. And it was like, not going to stay here very long.
Yeah.
When that happened, I'm like, this is not going to get any better.
We're wrapping
that's,
it up.
That was my same thought when I walked into a comedy club in Reno.
Yeah.
This is not going to get any better.
You have been to strip clubs.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And you're embraced as a woman goes into a strip club.
So I used to
playing
waitress,
America in the background.
Bartend. And after I get out of work, I worked at a hotel bar. If nobody was in there by 10, I could shut it down, you know.
Yeah.
And some nights were slow. So 10 o'clock, Mark's show place, local bar, had $2 to get in, $2 drinks on Tuesday nights.
Covered the nipples there, right?
Yeah, but you, they're pasties, but they're, it's clear. Like you, I mean, maybe by the end of the night, if they're sweating enough and they haven't changed them, you could, they,
it's the most
you know,
stupid thing ever in the history of stupid things.
I found it to be so confusing.
You can still see the nipple. It's not like,
I know, but at first I thought I was in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, okay. Dude, Florida, they're flesh-colored bandages, yep. And it looks like, the first time I went, that was dark, I'm like, that and, a woman
no,
doesn't have any nipples.
You can still see the nipples. Like,
and
you
explain to me how Vegas, the dirty city of Vegas.
I know
they don't get totally nude.
It's crazy. I don't get it.
But yeah, so I would go there and I'd sit down with my drink, relax after work. The women would come to me, ask me, "Hey, can I dance for you?" They would in turn get tons of money. Would love when I showed up on Tuesday nights because if they're dancing for me, they don't have to dance for some of the men. The men will then pay to see her dancing for me.
So did they cut you in on it?
So to try to steal her away from you, you mean they're giving them more money?
No. They love the girl on girl.
It's less creepy to be with a woman who understands than it is to be, come on, you've seen guys,
and I obviously am okay with, like, I feel comfortable with females, so if they're touching me and doing stuff to me that they couldn't do to a man, I know, guess what? I made my living for the day. They can make a few extra bucks by rubbing their boobies in my mouth, whatever.
You know, how are you not super, super wealthy? Like,
huge money could be made.
How did she not get into that racket for a while?
Jimmy.
It's not her thing.
Jimmy.
It's not her thing.
When I first met Laura, she said some of the things, and again, I don't want to go back into a dirty frame of mind.
Yes.
She had a great body.
Yes.
I was thinking.
What did you say had?
Uncle Creepy. Yeah. Uncle Jerk Creepy off. Production. I was thinking, do you realize she's a Florida car? You realize low miles, only then with two guys.
No
how
rust.
Much,
no
how much
rust.
Money well, we could make.
She's a Florida car.
We could make.
I literally yesterday bought a Florida car.
Yeah. Right.
She's a Florida car.
I'm like, do you realize how much money we could make? But she didn't want that.
Yeah, so I know.
But you're actually in a place where people are paying to watch this, and you're letting women dance on you.
Yeah, and they and you
know just
what?
Couldn't take that next step.
I'm very clumsy. I'm not good with a pole. I'm like, I tried.
I saw her on the pole. I saw her work the pole.
I went down to Tens one night, brought a bunch of listeners. The women of Tens are going to teach me how to pole dance and stuff. I did it.
Crash dance.
It's, yeah. I'm
not flash dance.
It was scary.
I can't wear heels. I try. I fall down on my face a lot. I knew that wasn't an option for me.
Yeah.
So I would rather the other women that can make the money.
Sure.
I get a free drink here and there.
But here's my question, though. Yeah. When you go in and you sit down and the women come over and they say, can I dance for you? And you know that they're going to make a lot of money off it. Wouldn't it have been the right thing to do to slide you a 20 or a 50?
No, I mean, the guys next to me were all buying me drinks and stuff.
There you
go. I was fine with it. I will say, now I became friends with a lot of the local talent. Mm-hmm. When I went to Canada.
Can I just interrupt? They don't like to be called local talent. Talent, just talent.
Yeah. Well, I want to go
DJ.
Up to.
We covered that in the show.
I
want
to go up to.
It's a pet peeve.
Canada. Yeah. Canada. Not locals. I'm just going there on trips, but I go with men. So men, we're going to the strip club. I'm just one of the guys. Yeah. We used to go watch the Red Sox play in Toronto and stuff. Go to strip clubs up there.
It's
those
a different
girls,
ball game.
That's a whole different world, yeah.
Oh, my.
I've been told.
I saw a guy get too close after he was warned not to get too close. And security picked him up. And they made sure that by the time in Quebec, Montreal, excuse me, by the time it was probably 30, maybe 20 yards, 25 yards to the door, they made sure his arm bent in ways it wasn't supposed to bend so that everybody could see.
Yeah.
You don't fuck around in Canada. They take that very seriously.
I will say they take what they do to women very seriously. They are very handsy in Canada.
Wasn't
maybe
allowed.
They don't let the men touch you, but they were taking my hands and putting them in places that I
men,
was like.
Men, you don't touch. You do not touch. That's my understanding. That's still
they
the case.
Like the women to touch.
I have no knowledge of this. I've never been to a strip club in Canada. I just when I went there, I went strictly for the hockey.
I've been very fortunate. The only time I went to a strip club, I was being paid.
Yeah, yeah. well, you know, it was a different time. You know what the ending thing for me was with strip clubs? You
want to know what the marriage?
Yeah, no.
that was what it was for me.
I was working at a place. I'm not going to say where.
Yeah.
So I was working at a place, and they had a room.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, a bell would go off or a whistle would blow, And every guy, a girl had to pick a guy and bring him to this back room, which was just a piece of wall with a partition around it.
Okay.
And it was a line of the dudes would sit on the bench, and the, all the women would line up in front of those dudes and dance for them. And I sat there, and I where I was, I looked out, and I saw all these women dancing, and I'm like, those poor women have to dance. And I'm like, and they didn't have to pay them. It was like a freebie.
Right.
And I'm like, I can't do this. Yeah. I just felt like, wow, you know, it wasn't cool.
Blue light special.
That was it. So that was it. I broke. There's nothing. I'm all set. Look, if you want to do it, that's fine. I got no problem with it. But that kind of was rough, you know. But I was already in dad mode. Once you get in dad mode.
Tammy's water just broke.
Pretty sure. But they got all the bastards that wouldn't pay for the dance. And they had to pick them up and try to entice them into. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, when you're going in a strip club with a virtual coupon.
Yeah.
Don't do that, man. Laura, did you bring coupons in there?
No.
I know you're a big fan.
They had a really good rice pilaf, though. That's what I heard. That's it. That's all we got time for.
Tastes weird.
Jimmy Dunn hanging out with us. JimmyDunn.com. He's at the Bank of New Hampshire stage in Concord coming up on Saturday night.
Yeah, that's going to be a great show.
Yeah, him and Kenny Rogerson, awesome, funny comedian. So go see him. Jimmy, good to see you.
Thanks,
check
man.
Out all his dates at JimmyDunn.com. And we will be back tomorrow with all kinds of other stuff.
Try to pork chop, everybody.
Everybody, there you go. Have a great one.